It's good to see all of you again. I'm glad to be with you. My wife Loretta sends her regards. She was not able to come this time, but she wanted me to remind you that she would like to be here. Good to have my youngest son with us, Johnny Paul, who drove down today with us. He's going to be here all week. Good to see all of you again. You're especially good to see Donnie and his good family. Curtis especially, my little assistant doing the preacher training program. You remember that? It would have been hard to have done it without you, wouldn't it? Okay. Donnie and his family are special friends of ours, and we love them a lot, and the work he does here is outstanding, and I know you appreciate that. I was in a meeting a few years ago in a Tennessee place, and started on Sunday morning, and on Monday night, one of the men prayed, "Lord, help us to endure this meeting." I hope it's not that bad. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about what's on the board. When Jesus looked around, the passage that's already been read is Mark 11:11, and that's what it says. When Jesus looked around, I got to thinking about two things. Suppose Jesus came to your house to visit and looked around. I'm asking you, what would he see? You don't have to answer out loud, just listen. First of all, would he have seen some Bible reading in your house? Too many homes go through the day, the weeks, and the months without any Bible reading. We're charged to give attendance to reading. 1 Timothy 4:13. The blessed man in the book of Revelation in 1:3 is the man that reads. We encourage you to set aside some time for Bible reading every day. But if Jesus came to your house, and looked around, would he have seen some Bible reading? You'll have to decide that. Had he came to your house and looked around, would he heard anybody praying? You'll have to decide that. I've heard it mentioned already today about praying without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:7. And they affect your fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Would the Lord have heard any praying at your house? Think about it. Had the Lord visited your house and looked around, would he have seen a good attitude toward others? Or would he have heard you talking about how bad the preacher is, the elders, and the members? You know how bad Brother so-and-so is? Would they have heard that at your house? And then you wonder why your kids don't want to come to church? You ever wonder why your young people have not obeyed the gospel? They don't want to be a member of church that's that bad. When Jesus came to visit your house, did he hear you talking bad about the folks? Did he? You'll have to decide that. What about your attitude? Some people have a bad disposition toward others. I read in the book of Philippians 2:3-4 that we need to esteem other better than self. And he said, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. You sing the song around here, Others, by the way? Who's the song leader? You sing that song around here, Others? Be good to learn it, wouldn't it? It's a great song, and it ends up putting others before ourselves. Had Jesus visited your house and looked around, what do you see? If Jesus came to your house and looked around, we'll say he comes on Saturday evening. Would he have seen you and your family making plans for Sunday morning? Got the clothes all laid out. The shoes shined. To bed early. Early to rise. Make some ass. How's that go? Wealthy wives. Heard that. Had the Lord visit your house. What do you see? You making plans for worship? What do you see? You say, we've got a Bible lesson tomorrow. We're going to have to study tonight. Sit down, kids. We're going to go through the material you're going to look at tomorrow. You need to be familiar with the Bible class material you got to study tomorrow. Will the Lord see that when he visited your house and looked around? You'll have to decide that. You know, we're all commanded to study. 2 Timothy 2:15. To show ourselves approved under God. Would he have seen you, like on Saturday night, laying aside something to lay by in store on the first day of the week? Like we just got through doing. Would he have seen that? Had you looked around at your house? When the Lord looked around in your house and yours, would he have seen you training your children up like they ought to be brought up? Father's primary responsibility is the upbringing of the children to see that that's done. Remember Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What have you seen that? In the book of Jeremiah 2:30, the Bible says, in vain have I smitten your children. They receive no instruction. Would the Lord have seen that when he looked around in your house? Too many children are left to themselves today. Sometimes young people are allowed to miss worship service, like this morning, or tonight, or other times. They're on the ball team, and they're playing tonight at 6:00. Where were your kids being six when Jesus looked around? You'll have to decide that. Have you already made that decision, by the way? When the Lord visited your house, looked around, did he see a house that's set in order? Now, when the Bible talks about in 2 Kings 20:1 that King Hezekiah was told he's going to die, and he was told to set his house in order. Now, that doesn't have a thing in the world to do with rearranging the furniture or adjusting the draperies or painting the walls or sprucing the house up. Although that's not a bad idea to do every once in a while, all right? He's talking about setting your life in order because you're going to die. By the way, unless the Lord comes first, we will. Hebrews 9:27. You know there are rules and there are exceptions to rules. The rule is that it's appointed once unto man to die. But should the Lord come while we're living, we'll not die. We'll just be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. 1 Corinthians 15 points that out. When the Lord looks around in your house, what does he see? Does he see people who have obeyed the gospel? Heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized? And become a member of the Lord's church? When he looks around in your house. Suppose the Lord decided to open the refrigerator. He might. What would he see there? You know where I'm going? You want to guess? What do you see? Some alcohol in there? Some beer? Would he? Hey, honey, we better get that stuff out of here. I think the Lord's going to visit. We got brethren who thinks it's okay to drink alcohol. I was talking to a friend of mine who liked to drink a little. And I read a bunch of scriptures to him about Don't look at it when it's red. Proverbs 21, wine's a mocking, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He said, those scriptures are just making suggestions. Really? I said, what about Mark 16, 16? He that believes and is baptized to be saved. Is that a suggestion? Come on, brethren, who get to thinking that way. Somebody said, Johnny, I like that. What's in your house? But I'm not done. Suppose he visits Mill Street Church of Christ. I'm talking to you now. All of them. Elders, deacons, members, preacher. And me. Everybody. Suppose he came to Mill Street Church of Christ in London, Kentucky, and looked around. What would he see? Would he have seen every member at Bible study? Or would he have seen some people coming in way after Bible study? Some of you did that today, didn't you? Bible study is really important. You probably learn more in a Bible class than you do from the sermon. People tell me that. Because you have an opportunity to ask a question, answer if you want to. We must be eager to learn, 2 Timothy 2:15. Not forsaking the assembling together, Hebrews 10:25. To worship God in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. What do you see? Every member of this church at every service. The church in Terre Haute, Indiana, where John is one of the elders and my grandson's one of the preachers. I think every member there is at every service. You know, a lot of that depends on the elders. And they need to let the people know, the members know, that if you're going to be a member here, you got to attend. I hope they'll do that. When they looked around the Mill Street Church, did they see a people who studied and prepared the lesson? Did they see a zealous people? In 2 Corinthians 7:11, yea, what zeal, talking to Mill Street. Would he have seen that had he visited this church? Would he have seen a people zealous of good works? Titus 2:14. I'm talking about Mill Street Church. I'm not talking about somewhere else. I think sometimes we get to thinking, when I read this book, it's not talking to me, it's talking to somebody else. I'm talking to you today. And will every day that I get to be here with you. If you'll let me stay. Would he have seen at the Mill Street Church a people of knowledge? You know, we're told to know. You shall know the truth. John 8:32. And it'll make you free. If you don't know it, it won't. In Romans 10:2, there were people who had a lot of zeal but not very much knowledge. You've got to have both. You couple zeal and knowledge together, you've got something that's worth a whole lot. When he looked at the Mill Street Church, and he does, by the way, he looks around. Would he see a learned people? In Matthew 9:13, the text is, go and learn what this meaneth. Are you interested in learning, or do you care less? You'll have to decide. When he comes to Mill Street in London, Kentucky, and looks around, does he see a people ready to give answer when folks ask a question? In 1 Peter 3:15, be ready to answer. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer. Somebody said, that's a preacher's job. It is. That's the elder's job. It is. That's the Bible teacher's job. That is. And it's your job too. When he comes to Mill Street, Church of Christ in London, Kentucky, and looks around, I'm talking to you, all of you, including myself. Does he see a people who's ready to answer? When he comes to Mill Street and looks around, Does you see a people who respect the elders? You have new elders here, right? Recently appointed. And I'm thankful that that's been done. I'm talking to members now, elders. Do you respect these men? Do you honor them? Do you give them double honor, as 2 Timothy 5:17 said? Not only honor, but double it. When the Lord looks around Mill Street, does he see that or not? Or does he see you griping about, oh, I wish they'd get... No, no. Did you hear what, brother? No, no. Did you know... I'm going to come over to your house this afternoon. I want to talk to you about the elders. You want to come to my house? Okay, come on over. Now, first of all, I want to get my pen out and a notepad. I'm going to write down what you say. What did you want to say about brother? You don't hear many people saying much then. Try that if you come to your house, do that. When the Lord looks around and at the Mill Street Church, at the members, does he see a group of people who respect the elders? Their work is great. I'm not an elder, but I'm familiar with the work of an elder. What does he see? What does he see? When he comes to your house, when he comes to Mill Street Church, does he see a membership that if any have a widow that's in need, that the members take care of her? So the church won't be charged? 1 Timothy 5:16. When the Lord comes, looks through Mill Street Church of Christ in London, Kentucky, does he see a group of people that know who they are? Some people don't know who they are. They've lost their identity. Who are we? We're Christians. First of Antioch, Acts 11:26. That's 26, 28. When Paul preached to Agrippa, he persuaded him almost to be one. And Peter said it so well, if any man, not talking about church now, not talking about the Christian church, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him, that's not the church, an individual, glorify God in this name. The Lord's looking around the Mill Street Church of Christ in London, Kentucky now. What's he seeing? Does he see a people that's uncompromising? You remember Moses in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus 10:26? Oh, Pharaoh's going to let the people go, but he said, you got to take the cattle with you. No, don't take them. He said, keep them back home. You know what Moses said? Not a hoof shall be left behind. When we go, we're all going. That's uncompromising. Am I talking to Mill Street Church of Christ? Yes, sir. Don't have to wonder about that, do you? Paul writing to Galatians, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, folks came in to spy out their liberty and try to bind fleshly circumcision on the people. You know how long they listened to the false teachers? Paul said, not for an hour, not for 60 minutes. So what did he say? Huh? Am I right on that? Okay, I'll make sure. Not for an hour. Would the members here at Mill Street say that? Some false teacher come in, want to teach you some false doctrine about the AD 70 doctrine. They slip in kind of unaware of some of that. Or bring in some other false concept. Do the members have the courage and disposition and knowledge to rise up and say, no, sir, we're not going to tolerate it. Not for 60 minutes. That'll slow it down. They need to be exposed. Folks that teach false doctrine come in among this group. It needs to be exposed. It needs to be marked. Somebody said you wouldn't call their name, would you, Johnny? Yes, sir, I would. so-and-so is among us and he's teaching a false doctrine and you need to know about it. When he comes to visit your house and try to force and teach you that false doctrine, I want you to know who he is. That's what it means when it said marker. That don't mean to put a mark on top of his house or his car. You got to identify him, right? You have that kind of courage here at Mill Street? Some of you do, I know. Some of you may not. Well, I've said all I'm going to say about this. When Jesus looks around, what does he see? In your house and in this church. What does he see you as an individual who needs to obey the gospel? He sees you as an individual who has heard that caused you to believe, Romans 10:17, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That you need to repent of your sins. That means change your ways and do better. God commanded of all men everywhere, Acts 17:3, to make the good confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, Acts 8:37. And then our Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. When the Lord looks at you as an individual who has not done that, the Lord invites you to come. He said, come unto me. The right source. The right people. Those that labor and have been laden. I'll give you rest. Promise rest. And then that you can await that rest that lies beyond the grave. And then the Lord will add you automatically to his church. Acts 2:47. Don't have to join a thing. I've often said, He adds you to the church before you have time to join anything. Would you like that? When the Lord looks at your life, and he is, he does. He looks around. I'm sure he would like to see you obey the gospel and sold away. Or maybe you've already obeyed it, but you've drifted away. You've got careless with your life, and you're doing things that you know you ought not be doing, and saying things you ought not be saying, and visiting places you ought not be visiting. And you want to straighten all that out by repentance, confession, and prayer. Would you come have a sing the song?